Good morning. Welcome to Back to the Book broadcast. Evangelist Gene Voss with you today. Thank you for tuning in. Hope it can be a blessing today. We're going to have a little treat for you this morning. We're going to have Pastor Alfred Willis be preaching for us this morning. Pastor's down in South Carolina. And I hope it'll be a real blessing to you as you listen. We'll start it today. Don't know if we get finished or not, but I hope it'll be a blessing to you.
Scripture. Verse number 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this is manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that the world through him, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby we know that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. It's some deep scripture, church. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hate his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. Now, folks, I'm telling you, that's deep right there now. So let's pray and ask God to help us as we try to bring the message. Father, thank you for letting us be here today, Lord. When I read that, it convicts me. And I pray, God, that you'd give me a greater love. It's not my love, but it's the love of God within me for the people of God and even a lost world. Help me with that. Help me as I preach this morning, that God, you would even preach to me, Lord. I know all of us need this subject. So speak to us, I pray. Thank you for your love for us when we were unlovable. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You know, I think it's interesting, and I've said this before, amen, in regards to the book of 1 John. 1 John is written, of course, after Jerusalem's gone, Peter's gone, Paul is gone, amen. Great persecution has come to the church, and John is writing this short epistle about the emphasis on love. And John, beloved, was the apostle of love. Amen. But he is writing, and I know many of y'all remember this, but I want to remind you, he is writing to a third generation. He is writing to a group that's removed from Christ by three generations, from what I can understand. And as I studied that some years ago, quite a few years ago, first generation, truth to them is a conviction. First generation believers, truth to them is a conviction. Second generation believers, truth is a belief. But listen to this now. Third generation believers, truth is an opinion. John is writing to a third generation. And such as, how could I illustrate that? When you get the third generation and you preach the Bible, now generally speaking, and certainly there are many exceptions, but generally speaking, when you get the third generation believers in a family, they take truth as an opinion. That is, that's your opinion. That's not what the Bible teaches, that's what your opinion is. And I will say to us as a church who has, I'm passing even to some fourth generation, be careful that the Bible doesn't become an opinion. The Bible comes truth that is a conviction with us. Our forefathers died for their convictions. Amen. They believed this Bible so much that they were willing to put their life on the line. They were beaten. They were jailed. They were abused because they believed the Bible. And we're in a country, amen, that I'm telling you, the Bible now is just an opinion. I don't ever want to get there. I just tell you, when I got saved, that don't mean I'm near what I ought to be. I just said when the preacher got up and preached it, now I didn't think he was God. I knew he was a man like everybody. But when the preacher got up and preached, I didn't try to second guess the preacher. I wanted to know all I could know about trying to live for God. And I don't want to get to the place in my life that the Bible becomes just a belief. I want it to be a conviction. I believe what this Bible said. Can I explain creation? I can't explain creation, but I believe it. Why? Because the Bible said in the beginning God created. And I'm telling you, if you can believe that one verse, you can believe the rest of the Bible. Amen. So John two times says that God is love. Do you know there's a teaching today, this is related to my message, but I may not get there. Do you know there's a teaching today, really a very prevalent teaching today, that God don't love everybody? God only loves those that are saved. I don't believe a word of that. For God, John said early in his gospel, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So God in this time, in this text this morning, twice is called God is love. In verse number 8, the Bible said, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In verse number 16, he says here, and we have known and believed the love that God hath toward us. God is love. So that's what the Bible said. God is love. John talks about God being a spirit. Amen. In John 4:24, he talks about God being light. In 1 John 1:5, he talks about God being love. In our text this morning, John is called the apostle of love. He is the disciple whom Jesus loved. In John 13:23, John said, God is love. Now that's a huge, huge subject. Every time I go to preach on this subject, I just feel like I'm not worthy, I'm not adequate. I will say about this subject, it cannot be explained adequately. I think that's already been somewhat said this morning. It cannot be expounded properly, but it sure can't be experienced. We can experience the love of God. One poet wrote it this way, how thou canst think of us so well and be the God thou art, is darkness to my intellect, but sunshine in my heart. Glory. Love is proclaimed. John keeps returning to the subject in this epistle. Chapter 2, verse 5. But whoso keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Chapter 2, verse 5. Chapter 3, verse 16. Herein we perceive we the love of God. So he talks about the subject of love, but when he gets our text this morning, amen, he talks about the source of love. God is love. Amen. As John mentions God's love, he keeps getting deeper and deeper. Amen. Finally, he gets to the source of his love. It is what? Who is the source of God's love? The source of love is God. That's why you can't love without God. Now you can have a human affection, a human love, but you can't love like the Bible says love without having God in your life. He is the source from which it comes. I preached this, I had to insert this in another message many years ago. I give this illustration, true illustration. And I went to South America years ago to Peru and preached down there a couple of weeks in Peru. But when you get to the Andes Mountains, and you go up in the Andes Mountains, there is a source there that becomes a gigantic outflow from a small, small source. And that source is the Amazon River. And you probably, I know some of you heard this because I preached it. The Amazon River starts in the Andes Mountains 75 miles from the Pacific Ocean. 75 miles from the Pacific Ocean is a little stream up in the Andes Mountains. But instead of flowing west to go to the Pacific Ocean, it flowed east. 4,000 miles. They say you could almost literally about jump over the little stream of the Amazon River where it starts in the Andes Mountains. You could almost step or jump over it. But it makes this trip not to the Pacific Ocean, but to the Atlantic Ocean. And it goes through all that jungle, all the way down 4,000 miles, weaving and turning, and it hits the Atlantic Ocean. And where it hits the Atlantic Ocean, it's 90 miles from one bank to the next bank. And it would hit the Atlantic Ocean for 100 miles out in the Atlantic Ocean is fresh water. Why? That starts with a little source, amen. Hey, way up in the Andes Mountain that could have went west to the Pacific, but it traveled 4,000 miles to the Atlantic. Hey, I'm simply saying, think about that little stream, but think about where ours came from. We have a gigantic God, hey, that poured out his love toward us, amen. What, you know what it does? It freshens us up. Amen. It affects the whole world. Amen. God so loved the world. Amen. Praise God. Amen. It gets bigger and deeper and wider. Over in the book of Ephesians, that's what he said. He said in chapter number 3, he said that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit on the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, and to know the love of God which passes understanding. Hey, it passes. How can I explain it? Amen. It passes understanding. I can't explain it, but I sure can experience it. Amen. The love of God. That's a different concept to a pagan world. Well, their gods were gods to be feared. Their gods were gods that were angry, that had to be appeased. But the Father's nature is he is a God of love. I'm not serving a God that's angry with me. I'm serving a God that loves me. Amen. God is simply loving. He is love. It does not say love is God. It said God is love. If it said love is God, that would make love God. And that love is not God. God is love. Y'all got that? Hey, this love is concerned with your welfare. Over in the book of Romans, chapter number 8, you're very familiar with that. I can't give you anything you don't know this morning. But in Romans, chapter number 8, verse number 31, here's what he said. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He talks about God's protection. God loves us because, so he protects us. Hey, what shall we say then? To these things, if God be for us, who can be against us? So his protect, he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not also with him freely give us all things? God only protects us, God provides for us. If God would give you his son, what would he withhold? If he'd give you the best he's got, hey, the only son, the only begotten, if he would give us that, what would he withhold from us? So we see his protection. We see his provision. In verse number 34, he said, who is he that condemneth? It is he, it is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? We see God in his pardon, his protection, his pardon. We see God in his power. Verse 36, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. How can you be more than a conqueror? If you conquered something, you conquered. He said we're more than conquerors. The power of this love. Amen. Hey, the persuasion of this love. I love this verse. For I am persuaded that what? That neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ. Man, what a persuasion. I'm persuaded that he loves me. The nature of the Father's love, the nature of the family should be love. When we got born again, we took on the nature of the Father. Y'all, let me help me with this, amen. We have been born into the family of God. So we have the nature of our daddy, our father, amen. Bible said over in Galatians, is it Galatians or Romans? Says he cried, Abba, Father. He's our heavenly father. We have the nature of our heavenly father. You take on the nature of your parents, amen. If there is no love in your heart, listen to that, church. If there's no love in our heart, we don't know God. He said, he that loveth not knoweth not God. Now, I'm telling you, this is a convicting message now. Convicting to me. He said, if you don't love, you don't know God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. Amen. God loves people. Can you believe God loves people? He loves you. And he knows you. Amen. You know why we like people? You know why we like people? Because we only know what we see outward. Amen. But God knows us inward. Amen and amen. God loved us. Think about who we were. Think about what we are now. God loved us before we ever loved God. God loved us. Somebody put it this way. You didn't get saved. You didn't get saved. Then God loved you. God loves you to get you saved. Oh, my soul. Love is proclaimed. Love is proved. He said in verse number 9 of our text this morning that this love is manifested. It's manifested. Look in verse number 9. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world. Man, this is convicting. Manifest, made visible. This love is made visible. How? Biblical love cannot be hidden. It will be obvious. How do we know God loves us? Send his Son. God sent his Son into this world. Amen. The word sent is where we get our English word apostle. If we think about a missionary. Think about a missionary leaving this country to go to another country. Why? I've heard this said by missionaries before. Amen. They said, do you love those people? Do you love those people? And I know Brother Lance or Brother Jeff once said this. Hey, you don't even know those people. How can you love those people when you don't know? You don't go to the mission field because you love the people. You go to the mission field because you love God. And when you love God, you go to the mission field. And then God gives you a love in the heart for those people. Amen and amen. What the source is God. We do things because we love God. I know after a while God puts that love in your heart. Amen. Hey, he sent his not only to another country. He sent his Son for another world. He left heaven. He left all the portals of glory. All the praise and admonition to the God of heaven. And Jesus was willing to leave that to come to this world and give his Son. Amen. He sent his only begotten Son. Unique. One of a kind. God did not send an angel. God did not send a heavenly creature. God sent his only begotten Son. And John gives us 5 reasons why he came in John. Now there's many more, but in this epistle, probably more than 5. But I looked at 5. He came in to be a sin bearer. Look in chapter 3, verse 5. Chapter 3, verse 5. The Bible says what? And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sin, for in him is no sin. So first of all, he sent his Son to be a sin bearer. Number 2, he sent his Son to destroy the works of Satan. Look in verse number 8. Verse number 8, and he that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So he sent his Son to be a sin bearer, sent him to be a Satan destroyer, sent him for security. Look in chapter 4, verse 9 of our text this morning. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. He sent his Son for our security. Thank God, because of Jesus, I'm secure. Amen. Amen. Wife, if you're fretting about security, you have security in Jesus. He'll never let you down. Your mate might let you down. Your family might let you down. People may let you down. But Jesus will never let you down. Thank God for that. He sent to be our satisfaction. That's what the word perpetuation means. Amen. Verse number 10. Hearing his love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a perpetuation for us. Glory to God. And then in chapter 4, verse 14, he sent his Son to be the Savior. Amen. He came to satisfy the demands of God. Listen to this now. This is very simple, but get this point. He did not come to appease God. God wasn't mad at you. God loved you. Hey, the false God, they appease the false God because they serve that God out of a fear. When we talk about fearing God, we're talking about a reverential trust. When we talk about our God, it's a reverential trust. We don't serve God out of a fear, a slavish fear. We serve God out of a reverential trust. But they serve their God out of a slavish fear. And they try to appease their God. We don't appease our God. He loves us. He's not mad at you. I want to get on that point. I need that myself. Hey, just because you messed up don't mean God's mad at you. His heart broken over you, but he's not mad at you. Just because you mess up, he's not going to put you in hell. Amen. Hey, he loves you too much. He's invested too much in you. A child strays from his father, earthly father. That father don't hate his child. He's brokenhearted about it. In fact, the prodigal, chapter 15 of Luke, hey, he's more concerned about those straying than he are the 99 that stay at home. I think sometimes we get this. And I think if you get it in the right attitude, it's wholesome. I think if you get it in the wrong attitude, it can be very damning. Hey, I don't care what you do. I don't care if all you men leave and all of y'all get back in drugs. God's going to still love you. Amen. He'll never give up on loving. Isn't that a consolation? Amen. Well, preacher, I messed up bad this week. I think God's mad at me. No, he's brokenhearted, but he ain't not mad. I know you got that verse, God's angry with the wicked every day. I understand that, amen. But he still loves them. You can be angry at somebody and love them. Let's take it back to the marriage class. Y'all don't want to do that. Sure, you can disagree with people. Sure, you can get upset with people. But that don't mean you don't love them. Hey, God loves you in spite of what you are. In spite of what you did. That causes me... If I can remember that, I didn't have that in my message this morning. But I remember about the teenage girl that went to the senior prom. And she was raised in a godly home. And so at the senior prom, they told her, after we leave here, we're going to have a party at another place. Because if they see it, they'll tell mamas and daddies. So we're going to go to a party where there's drinking and drugs. And so they got that young girl and a bunch of teenagers together. And they said, we're going to this party to drink and drug and all that go along with that. And she said, no, let me out. Let me out. And she said, they said, no, we're going. She said, no, I don't want to go there. Let me out. They said, you afraid of what your daddy will do to you? She said, no, I'm afraid of what I'll do to my daddy. Anybody listening? Hey, God is brokenhearted with this, but he's not mad at you. He loves you. Preacher, you done said that 10 times. I'm going to say it 10 more. God loves us. He manifested his love. Hey, if he gave his son for you, what more can he do? Amen. Love is proclaimed. Love is proved. There's a teaching today that God don't love everybody. I don't know if you preachers are familiar with that. I come across that not so long ago. That they're teaching God don't love everybody. I don't believe a word of that. I'm telling you, it's amazing how people can take this Bible and jerk scriptures around and try to prove what. I don't believe God. The Bible tells me God loves me. Amen. Well, my voice got high right there. Love is proclaimed. Love is practiced. Look at verse 11. Stay with me now. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. And that's where it gets real heavy now. Well, man, that... Please take with me now. I'm made up just like you, other. I'm made up just like you, brethren. We love those that love us. How about those that don't love us? He said, God, we're to practice love. 3 times we're told to love one another. Do you have to tell your kids to love one another? Sometimes you look at your children, you don't think they love one another. Anybody listening? Y'all sure y'all love one another? Yeah, Daddy, we love each other. But why y'all beating each other's head in? You don't look like you love each other to me. I used to watch Matthew and Mark Lane and Michael. Dear God, I thought, I got to leave. I think they hate each other. When they was growing up, dear God, they'd get in the back room and fight. Oh, Lord, did they fight. And I thought, my soul. I mean, they look like they're serious. They try to tear each other's head off. At least I think they'd love each other. It didn't look like it at the time. Amen. Michael said, I'm surviving this. I'm going to go lift some weights. Michael started lifting weights. Why are you lifting in weight? Dear God, I'm going to survive in this crowd, friend. Somebody help me. Anybody listening? Hey, why do you have to tell your children, hey, they're brothers and sisters. Why do you have to tell, y'all quit fighting, y'all quit fussing, y'all love, y'all supposed to love one another. God has to tell us that. We're brothers and sisters, but sometimes y'all better get with this message now. Sometimes the world looks at the church and says, they don't love one another. They stab each other in the back. They talk about one another. They run one another down. Don't tell me. And here's what the Bible said in John. By this shall all men know you're my disciples. How? By your love one for another. Hey, I'm just saying, by your love one for another. Oh, this is convicting. Oh, yeah, I love my sister. Come here, let me tell you about her. And then you get in them little gossip sessions and run your sister down. I tell you, God's got note of that. You know what the Bible said? I'm preaching to myself this morning now. You know what the Bible said that? The Bible said, every idle word men shall speak, they'll give an account thereof. Can you imagine standing? And we are. We can imagine it, but we are. We go stand before God, and he's just saying, give me account of this. And I looked up that word years ago. Y'all heard me preach on that. Give an account, you're going to give an answer. The word account means word. It's the same word in the Greek. I don't know nothing about Greek. I just found this out. You're going to give the same. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word, they tell me the same Logos. They tell me the same Word. And I don't even like to say that because that ain't that I'm trying to sound smart. I'm just trying to say, they tell me the same Word. Just get your Strong's Concordance. I did. And the same word, for in the beginning was the Word, the Logos, is the same word in John, in Matthew 12:36. This says an account. When you stand before God, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account. That's the word logos. You go give a word for it. You, us. This applies to us all. If we love one another. Now, certainly, church, let's be fair. Let's be fair. Let's don't be so pious. Do we talk about one another? No answer. We do talk about one another. But we ought never to talk about one another to run them down and hurt them. I'm sure y'all talk about me. I'm the pastor. I would feel like sometimes another, you talk about me. Well, I didn't understand that. Or why did he do that? I put myself there. Why did he make that decision? Or why did we do that? Sure, I'm sure you have to say something about that. Man, I've been here 40 years. I've given $900 for poodle puppies. I give a man, he wanted a bed light bill, pay his light bill, and so I gave him $900 and he bought a poodle. I'm sure the church said, why did he do that? Or question that. But you ought not ever talk about anybody to run them down, to make them look bad. And have we done that? Have I done that? I have. But I ain't by myself now. You've done it too. But when I read this and I preach this, it makes me want to say, I don't want to do that no more. I don't want to run people down. I don't want to talk about people. I don't want to see all their faults and not see their good quality. Here's what the devil will tune you into faults, amen, and get your eyes off of what they do that's good. Amen, amen. Man, that's good. That's good preaching. Even if I am guilty. He said he manifested his love. We are to practice love. We're to love one another.